a year. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
But I want to get the language right.
The big government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
April the 20th, 2017, and we are live tonight. My name is S.M. Gibson, and you are listening to Anti-Media Radio. Since the last time we spoke on Tuesday, it's just been a lot more of the same. The downward spiral continues. We have seen tonight diehard Trump supporters been let down once again, as now the Trump administration seems to be hinting at prosecuting Julian Assange. Trump talked about on the campaign trail how he loved WikiLeaks, how he loved Julian Assange, because of course they put out a bunch of Hillary Clinton's emails and they didn't shine the best light on Hillary. And that did help Trump in some way get elected. It wasn't anything that I feel that was nefarious. It was just Hillary and her campaign staff in their own words. Trump was all for it. But again, we talk about how Trump in 2013 was completely against war in Syria. And look at what we're dealing with now. Not to mention what we have going on in the Pacific with North Korea, with China, with Russia. It's getting heated out there. Before we get into all of that, I want to go ahead and bring on our co-host for the evening, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, what is up?
Good evening, Mr. Gibson. How are you this fine and lovely 420?
I can't complain. Can't complain. Same old same, so there's no reason to complain. You know what I'm saying?
Ah, you made a little rhyme there. I like that. What are we going to do, man? I'm trying to find some sort of silver lining. You know, as you were, you know, kind of starting the show, I just was thinking to myself, how can we make this somehow a positive show? You know, it seems like we've gotten pretty negative lately, because that's all there is to talk about, all of this negative crap. Where's the positive in any of this?
You know, it's a good question. I guess for fans of Sarah Palin, Kid Rock, or Ted Nugent, they all got to visit the Oval Office yesterday, so that's a positive for those guys.
Boy, the Oval Office hadn't been this trailer-fied since Bill Clinton was in office doing what he did.
It is pretty similar, I guess.
That right there is like, I mean, that's a reality show dream, all of those people in the same room together. I really wish that there were some sort of talks, you know, when the cameras were done snapping and people were shooed away and they actually all got a chance to hang out for a minute, that there was a discussion about there being a television show with all of them together. The ratings would be through the roof.
I wish you'd move them all in and they could just film it.
Oh, man, that would be so awesome. I mean, if we're going to go ahead and do Idiocracy, let's go ahead and go the full nine with it, right?
I mean, we're pretty much there.
Yeah, cast me outside. How about that?
It's the post-satire age we are living in, and it gets more post-satire every single day.
Put a meme on it.
That's it. I mean, the whole world's become a meme. The president's a meme. The majority of politicians are a meme. The majority of the topics they talk about. It's just the world that we're in. Real quick, too, I wanted to mention the fact that there was another shooting today. Police officer killed in Paris. ISIS is claiming responsibility for that as well. But I want to talk about a little bit about what I started off talking beginning the show about with Julian Assange and the U.S. reportedly preparing charges to arrest him. Julian Assange, of course, is the founder of WikiLeaks, and they have been leaking stuff since as far back as 2010. He was, of course, a villain at the time. Republican Sean Hannity, that whole ilk. Very, very much against Assange and what he was doing.
And his Russian operatives, let's go ahead and you know, underline that as well, because there's always been some sort of correlation in the mainstream media, in the mainstream media as far as the narrative goes, as far as what Assange and his, you know, Russian contacts or these Russian people are sending stuff to Assange, Julian Assange.
But so you have to remember, back in 2010, this had nothing to do with Russia, and Russia wasn't in the mix, and that was never even discussed.
Well, what I'm coming from is just here recently. When any time that Julian Assange's name has been brought up in mainstream media here, I don't know, probably the past year or so, there's always been some sort of slipped in the conversation, something about Russia or something about information from Russia, or again, you know, and that was the central theme of as far as the WikiLeaks that, you know, were the document dump from the Clinton campaign. That was clearly Russia, and everybody was pointing at Russia. But yeah, so you know what I'm saying.
Sure. So, but you know, of course, the right was against Assange and against WikiLeaks. Then the 2015, 2016, heavily 2016, the election is hot and heavy. Assange is the last 30 days leading up to the election. They were making a leak every day with Podesta's emails. That's not to mention the DNC leaks that were a totally different leak and not to do with Assange. It certainly, I do believe it hurt Hillary Clinton, but at the same time, it wasn't fabricated material. It was out of, you know, the campaign's own mouth. So if it made them look bad, well, they made them look bad.
Well, maybe they shouldn't have said it. Yeah.
Right. It's stuff the American people should have known. The irony to all of it is then you did have the Sean Hannitys, you did have the Fox News, you had Republicans, Trump supporters. They all of a sudden loved WikiLeaks. They loved Julian Assange. They thought that he should be pardoned. All of a sudden, the same people that said he should have been in prison. People need to remember that Trump said that he believed that Snowden should be executed. Yep. So what we're seeing right now is not a complete shock. It shouldn't be a complete shock. It's a complete flip from what he was saying on the campaign trail. But, you know, Assange has served his purpose politically for Trump, the administration, and the right wing. I'm curious to see how much pushback they get from this, from, you know, Trump does from his base. Will he brush it off? Is this, you know, it was anonymous sources originally.
Well, let's go ahead and get something on the table right now. His base is dumb enough to believe anything that comes out of his mouth, no matter how contradictory it is to something he said a week ago, a month ago, a year ago.
Listen, but in fairness to the people that support Donald,
just give him a chance. Just give him a chance. Let him do his thing. That's the narrative coming from that camp.
You're right about that. But this is something people need to remember when it comes to, because Trump supporters, and I'm not going to sit here and wave a flag for Trump supporters, because I clearly believe they've got duped. I don't think it's a big shock, but I think they get a bad rap for being, oh, dumb Trump supporters. Guess what? Dumb Obama supporters, dumb Bush supporters, dumb Clinton supporters.
Bingo.
If you have fallen into the mindset of falling off you know, falling a politician off of a cliff, it doesn't matter what comes out of their mouth or what they say, you believe it. Because of Trump's rhetoric and his, you know, how he behaves himself, it automatically is these stupid people. Well, it's the same for any politician. I don't understand why people don't understand that, but they don't, and they've got their blinders on. Trump people have on their blinders, just like Obama people had on their blinders. So it's more the same on the just a different team running the show right now. At least, you know, to the public, when we see our foreign policy, it doesn't look very different. Actually, it looks worse. But that being said, so do you think they're going to follow through with this and arrest Assange?
I think at this point, especially if Trump, you know, being on record towards being favorable toward Assange, which is still, and you pointed out, hilarious to me, while simultaneously calling for Snowden's execution campaign dais.
Right, yeah, that, you know, that never correlated with each other. But I want to throw this in there because you were...
But, you know, the thing is, though, is that both of them are working toward the same goal, and that's exposing the sickness that is American politics. We're throwing our hands up in the air and wringing our hands as far as, you know, how are we going to vote our way out of this situation? And all they did, again, this wasn't anything, you know, that was meant to attack anyone. All it was simply exposing the truth that American taxpayers, quite frankly, deserve.
But you got to remember, it's not just it's spearheaded with the United States, but this is not just a problem with the United States. This is something that has bled through the entire planet and politics in every nation around the world to some degree or another, especially when you're talking about the West, for sure, Western nations, to really kind of hammer it closer to home. When you see the UK and, you know, Saudi, I'm not going to get into Saudi Arabia right now, but whatever. With that one, but you had mentioned Russia and the connection, the quote unquote connection with WikiLeaks, which of course there was never any evidence of, ever. That there was never any mention of Russia being involved in WikiLeaks up until the election, when mm-hmm. that was the narrative being used. He had been dumped. There had been WikiLeaks dumped since 2010. It was never mentioned until it was expedient for the Democrats to say Russia, because everything was getting blamed on Russia. So when we have the FBI coming out today admitting that
it was Russia, wasn't it?
It was not Russia. And they are now launching a manhunt for the quote unquote insider who leaked the CIA.
To
WikiLeaks. I don't think that should come as a surprise to anyone, because again, there has been zero evidence that there was any connection between Russia, Julian Assange, WikiLeaks. There just hasn't been any. And I know that a lot of people that buy into the whole leftist argument have thought that Russia has just overthrown this and done this and done that. Well, guess what? There's no evidence of that. And that's why I wanted to make sure to point out that when you're saying, oh, Trump supporters, well, look at the people that are just vehemently on the left side, you know, the Hillary camp, I guess you want to call it, whatever that camp is, not necessarily diehard Hillary supporters, but far to
reformed Bernie supporters that became reluctant Hillary supporters. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. But with that being said, look, they bought this Russia business hook, line, and sinker with zero evidence. So you want to talk about a stupid group of people. That's a stupid group of people, because they just believed it.
You mean that same group of people that was really super, super, super quiet for the past 8 years, where we're bombing the living hell out of the Middle East, and then suddenly want to start getting a little questionable about, well, Trump saying we need to go to Syria, and well, we definitely don't like Trump. Maybe we don't need to go to Syria. Duh, we shouldn't have been in Syria for all of the years that we've been planning on going to Syria.
See, I don't believe that, because you have people like Hillary Clinton, you have people on the right, like the John McCain's, all the people that have been Trump's biggest enemies politically for the past year and a half, almost 2 years coming up, they have all have been cheerleading for war in that region this entire time, and he was the one saying no to all that. Now that he's doing it, they're supporting him. So I think that is not going to be something that you're going to see a backlash on as far as the people that have attacked him, the people that have brought up the whole Russia narrative constantly. I think that will die down a little bit, to be honest with you. Because
you mean it'll die down because it's now now we're starting to see evidence, and it's slowly unfolding that the actual CIA, you know, the American CIA, American government was responsible for the WikiLeaks. Oh, wow. That's almost like the American government being responsible for ISIS somehow.
But see, I don't think the facts, you have to remember, we live in a world of post-facts. There is no actual news. It's all confirmation bias. So I don't believe that facts being presented has anything to do with the narrative changing, because look at the narrative of the 28 pages in Saudi Arabia and the connection.
And that right there is the most sickening thing about this
facts
whole story.
Facts have nothing to do with this. The reason that I think they're going to slowly step, just, you know, ever so slightly back away, that doesn't mean they're going to drop it altogether. But Trump's now kind of in line with what they want to do. He's ramping up war. He's going after the people they want to go after.
Kind of in line. He's doing exactly what the narrative that everybody was wringing their hands about. Oh, God, if Hillary Clinton gets into office, all of this stuff is going to happen. Well, guess what? All the stuff's still happening.
Oh, sure it is. But
so I guess the president really isn't in charge, huh?
Well, I think, you know, that should be a given at this point, that the president only has...
It should be, but it's not. And that's why I kind of keep bringing that point back over to that statement. It is so amazing to me that people really honestly believe in 2017, with the way that this government works, that the president of the United States somehow has any kind of real honest to God power to change anything. So voting's not working, y'all. It's I'm sorry, it's just not working.
But you know what? Nothing's gonna work, Shannon. Look, I say this and I don't care. Everybody gets frustrated. Well, you know, I'm the great defeatist, and that's fine. I'm the great defeatist. But we're too far down the drain. Voting, not voting, whatever. Go vote, don't vote.
It makes zero difference one bit whatsoever. The narrative is going to continue. And if it's not war in the Middle East, it's going to be war somewhere else over some other valuable research.
No, it's going to be in the Middle East. Don't worry.
Yeah, it's going to stay in the Middle East for quite some time.
They're not going anywhere when it comes to the Middle East. And we even have, of course, and what is all this center around, especially when you look at a map of the Middle East and you see that we've been in Iraq and Afghanistan for so long, and then we've got Syria to the north of Iraq, and everything that's going on in Turkey. They just gave Erdogan, voted to give him a bunch more power, which is just insane to me. But what's in the middle of all that is Iran. And we haven't been hearing the drums of war beat in Iran's direction quite as recently. I mean, of course, we've heard it forever and ever and ever. But because of the North Korea talk, because of the Syria talk, we haven't heard Iran as much. Well, James Mad Dog Mattis, for people who don't know, he is the defense secretary, has been in Israel, and as he said, to talk Iran, Iran, Iran. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. So they're getting back on path with Iran, and until they do whatever it is that they feel like they need to do with Iran, the United States isn't going anywhere in the Middle East, not even kind of, not even close. They still haven't even gotten over the hurdle of Assad, which they've wanted him out for a while. But yeah, I mean, they're definitely seems like they're pointing back in the direction of Iran, because I feel like they've probably got some momentum with what they're doing or what they want to do in Syria, because they're firing, you know, 59 Tomahawk missiles, which is terrible, shouldn't have ever happened. But
why are you still talking about that when we had that big old giant huge explosion with the ISIS caves that we created?
But see, that was in Afghanistan. That was some. But you got to remember what we're talking about in Syria, even with Afghanistan too. The biggest detriment to the people of those countries isn't that we're dropping bombs, which it's horrendous and needs to stop immediately. But the biggest problem is that we still continue to fund the al-Nusras, the al-Qaedas, whatever you want to, whatever label you want to put on these moderate rebels. As long as we're still funding those factions, this isn't going anywhere. This isn't going to change, and the chaos will continue to ensue. You have to have a complete overhaul of foreign policy. Of course, Trump acted like he was going to. Even people in his administration hinted towards that. Didn't last very long, the people in his administration. Trump kept it up for a while. But as you see, John McCain and Lindsey Graham are now huge fans of Donald Trump. Or, you know, they've warmed up to him, and it's because he's doing what they wanted to do. They want to bomb people. They want to continue the imperialistic pursuits of the United States.
Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Our taxpayer dollars hard at work.
That's what it is. I mean, and we're broke, so that's a really good thing to spend our money on. So, you know, I don't know where it's going to go. I'm sitting here. For those of you who haven't been to the front page of the antimedia.org today, I'm just sitting here scrolling through some of these stories. We've got the headline that we're going to talk about here in a second. Russia reportedly sending troops, tanks to the border with North Korea. But also we've got at the top of their news what we've been talking about, the U.S. preparing charges to arrest Julian Assange. And in our news, we have the Trump administration almost forgot that it wants to bomb Iran. And for any stories that you come across or you see that you feel like is important and other people need to know about, please visit the homepage of independent media, theantimedia.org. And on the right-hand column, under My News, there is a bar that you can submit the link to any article you wish. And you can get either an article you did or a YouTube video you did or just something that you've come across that you feel like is not being covered properly. Please visit theantimedia.org, and we're all in this together, sharing information together. So back to the top story we've got on the website right now, Shannon. Russia reportedly sending troops, tanks to the border with North Korea. It should be stressed that these are reports coming out. It appears that this is something that is actually happening. I don't believe it's been 100% confirmed yet, but that's what I was saying about, and that's the thing when we're dealing with all this. Real quick, what I wanted to mention about the Assange thing. I mean, WikiLeaks is tweeting about it. Assange is tweeting about it. So this is being taken seriously, but it did originally start with a CNN report by some anonymous sources. And we all know how trustworthy CNN can be, and that starts stirring up stuff in every direction. But with that being said, that appears to be the case right now. They even had Jeff Sessions come out. So we'll see what happens with it. You know, everything coming out of mainstream sources should certainly be taken very gingerly, I want to say. But back to this Russia creeping up on the border of North Korea. Following China's reported, another keyword reported, deployment of 150,000 troops to its border with North Korea only days ago, it appears Russia is now following suit. This morning, footage surfaced that appears to show Russian tanks, helicopters, and troops being moved to the country's tiny 11-mile border with North Korea by railway. One video, which you can see right now, we've got the video posted on the AmSciMedia.org in the article. One video seems to show military helicopters and army combat trucks performing maneuvers near the Korean Peninsula. It is also being reported that more equipment is being moved to the border via roads. Do you think everybody is going to converge in North Korea, and do you think everybody is going to get involved over there? I mean, when we talk about World War, you know, when you look at World War II, the United States was fighting on two fronts. They were fighting in the Pacific, and they were fighting in Europe. It looks like if this ends up being accurate, we're going to have problems with Russia in the Middle East, and we're going to have problems with Russia in the Pacific. This is really, really, really going down a dangerous road of what could potentially become World War III. Legitimate world powers fighting each other in different areas around the globe. And once that happens, of course, with North Korea talking nuclear this, nuclear that, I think once one person shoots off the first nuke, like, that's not going to be the last one shot off.
Well, and again, you know, I think all the players involved in this know that and understand that going into it. And again, I liken this to having that little drunk, you know, short neighbor that runs outside every once in a while just to show everybody in the neighborhood what a badass he is and fires off his 22 and runs back in the house. I kind of liken this to, you know, as far as what North Korea's role in all of this is, you know, everybody else is talking about how bad they are and worried about skirmishes here, there, and everywhere, and North Korea's just trying to stand up and be heard. I got a gun, too.
Are they being allowed to do this by China? Like, are they China's proxy to stir up crap that China doesn't want to do?
And that I don't know, but at the same time, I mean, North Korea's kind of, you know, marched to its own drum for quite a while now, even though they've been very respectful of the fact that China is China. I mean, you know, China is definitely the, you know, the elephant in the room, I guess you could say. There's no getting around China, particularly in that region. All of that being said, though, you know, North Korea... I mean, really, what skirmishes are they involved in right now? What terrorist activities have they plotted over in the Middle East or over in Paris? You said a cop just got shot in Paris by a member of ISIS.
ISIS is taking credit for shooting.
Was that the Korean offshoot of ISIS? No, that's you know, North Korea has, you know, they have nothing to do internationally with anybody else. I mean, you know, they pretty much isolated themselves. So that crazy neighbor that lives at the end of the block that, you know, doesn't come outside and doesn't let anybody in their on their lawn, you know, and, you know, ultimately, I think North Korea is harmless. And I think that this is just a lot of military posturing for a lot of other reasons other than North Korea. However, it is important, though, sometimes when your neighbor is, you know, kind of acting like a butthole, to get together with your other neighbors and, you know, show them that, hey, we're not going to have that kind of crap in our neighborhood. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know.
Like everything else, it's convoluted, Channing, because Kim Jong-un is clearly not the most stable leader in the world. I don't think anybody would disagree with that.
To be fair, we do catch a small side of it. Now, I'm not saying that the guy's a great guy by any means, but I'd be hard-pressed to say that he's done anything, I mean, remotely as bad as some of the stuff that America has been charged with here recently.
Well, I think once you get to the whole North Korea thing, I think he killed – once he took power, he publicly – executed members of his family and said, we're not going to have any dissension, and was pretty bold about it. And before, for people that don't keep up with North Korea very much, when his father, Kim Jong-il, was there, of course, people were still off. People were still killed. But it was done tastefully. It was done tastefully. It was done more discreetly. You know, somebody had a car wreck or somebody did this or somebody. Of course, it was the exact same thing. But Kim Jong-un straight up released a statement, says we're getting these people. There's not going to be anybody. There's not going to be no back talking. And he, you know, he cleaned house. So he is got a different demeanor.
So now, but having said that, though, how's that any worse than any other civilized country that you can think of? I mean, stuff like that goes on in Russia, stuff like that goes on in America throughout
the world. I think what it is because of his arrogance of just saying we're going to do this, as opposed to where it happens in the United States or even where it happens in Russia. There's not people getting rounded up and
so how is one worse than the other, though?
It's not saying that one's worse. What I'm saying is when it comes to the political posturing, when it comes to saving face or being able or deniability or all this other stuff, when there's people that are killed in Russia, oh, they just fell over dead. We don't know what happened. The United States, oh, there was a car wreck. We don't know what happened. Oh, he got robbed on the street, even though they didn't take anything from him.
So what you're basically telling me is that he's an honest politician. Oh, my God.
Well, I guess that's one way to say it, I guess. Because
I told you there was going to be a silver lining in this conversation tonight somewhere. Bam, yeah, here it is.
Kim Jong-un's honesty of killing his family.
And probably going to get his country nuked off the face of the earth.
It could happen. Life. Who knows, you know. And think about all the rumors that we've heard come out of there for years. And all the rumors that we've heard come out of the Middle East. Think, if you just take a look at Iran, we've heard for over 20 years, oh, they've got that bomb. Oh, they're getting it. Oh, we got to do something. Oh, it's terrible. And still, yet nothing in, you know, the past 20 years has really happened with us attacking Iran. Not like...
Let me ask you a question. I just had a crazy thought. What if, because think about the last time that you've seen a display of the Chinese military, like them all like out on in a great big formation with tanks and planes and the whole bit. When have you ever seen this in your lifetime?
Oh, geez, I don't know.
We have a lot of loud talk about China here in America. Let's bring it back home for a minute. A lot of loud talk about China. A lot of loud talk about Russia. And here we have a perfect illustration for both of those countries to put their military on full display. And, you know, and again, we're not even talking about their full military. We're just talking about, let's just say we have this size of, you know, of a little skirmish that we need to deal with. So we're going to put this amount of troops and this amount of weaponry and so on and so forth. Again, I think this goes back to posturing. I really do. And I don't think it has anything to do with posturing with North Korea. However, there is, you know, there's a dual meaning here. You see what I'm saying?
I think North Korea is a factor in all this. I think they're definitely one of
those. But I don't think that's the sole reason that we're seeing military force that we're seeing from both Russia and China right now. This is a show. This is a show that a lot of people... A lot of Americans that casually toss off, yeah, we need to do something about that China thing, and we need to do something about that Russia thing. Okay, well, here's the China thing, and here's the Russia thing. Do y'all really want to do this?
Russia and China, though, even though if this ever goes down, which, you know, it appears we're creeping toward more towards every day, if this actually goes down, I'm certain that at first you will see an alliance between Russia and China. I don't know how long that would last. I think at some point China will be like, we don't need y'all, and flick them off the map too. But
I don't know. I think with the way that they both do business, I think there would be not necessarily chumminess, but there would be a mutual respect. And I think that there always has been. Or at least in modern times, with the current Putin-led administration.
But I think you're looking at very different. China and Russia need different things geopolitically. They have different beefs, if you want to go ahead and call it. They have different qualms with the United States, even though they both do. I think you're going to see China play ball a little bit when it comes to North Korea. I don't know how much, but I think they will a little bit, at least for a while.
Are you basically just saying it's just so they, you know, the Asian community sticking together over there, so to speak?
I don't think it's, you know,
any kind of aggression towards North Korea without China's consent would possibly be seen as kind of a slight toward China, perhaps.
I do think that. I think it has more to do with if, for instance, China was like, if Mexico was just shooting missiles into the ocean and China was all of a sudden like, hey, we're going to come over there and bomb y'all if y'all don't cut this out. And then, of course, the United States being similar in region, very close, but no, don't mess with them. We'll deal with it. It's got nothing to do with you. I think that's, you know, where Russia especially, but Russia and China enter into it. Plus, China and North Korea are very interconnected. I don't know about now in the past year or two, but I know for a few years, really the only way for anybody from to go actually visit North Korea, you could only get there going through Beijing, through China. So their lines of communication have been a lot more open than anything that we've had with them, certainly. It's not like you can take a plane from L.A. or Honolulu to North Korea, but you can from China. So it's just a way different situation, way different circumstance with all the parties involved. If, hopefully, he doesn't hit somebody. And I don't know if Kim Jong-un's purpose has been to hit anybody up to this point. I kind of feel like he's just doing it just to do it. It's not the smartest thing he's ever done. I'll say that because given – and this is why I asked the question, is China just letting this happen to see, you know, to kind of play their dirty pool for them so they don't have to do it. They don't have to get their hands dirty because it seems like China – A, could shut him up pretty fast if they wanted to. And if he keeps shooting these things off and he does hit somebody, then look, all bets are off. If he hits Seoul, if he hits South Korea, if he hits Japan, that's it. Like, that's it. We're in World War that day. I would lean hopefully towards thinking that if he was the aggressor at first, China and Russia would be like, well, sucks for y'all. And I think this is more of a who knocked this off my shoulder. No, you knocked this off my shoulder kind of a thing. And then you've got the Trump administration and the military powers that be right now that are hinting at and threatening that they're going to have first strike. If they do that, that's bad. You can't do that because then nobody's going to say at all. If at least if Korea, North Korea strikes first, then it's like, well, they did this to themselves. But if the U.S. strikes North Korea first, that's a can of worms. That's a can of worms right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
I just it's hard for me to imagine a scenario where it's going to come to that. It really is, even at this point, as wild as it's getting. And I really feel like it's a lot of political posturing. And posturing is aimed by all three countries involved in this are all aimed over here in our backyard.
But you've got somebody like Donald Trump that's willing to launch 59 missiles just, I think, for the sole purpose so that he can look across the table as the president of China and be like, what? What are you going to do about it? This is what I do. Like, you know, I think he was just going.
How's that cake treating you? You like that cake? That's a good cake. Yeah. I think this cake is the one most wonderful cake ever. Here, let's cut on the news real quick. I want you to see something.
Yeah, I really think that had more to do with him launching those missiles than anything. I don't know if he necessarily would have done it if he didn't have that meeting that day. Because
I think, you know, out of all the most the recent politicians, let's say in the past 50 years, I think Donald Trump has to be like almost down toward the bottom of somebody you'd actually want to eat a meal with. He'd be like somebody that's telling you you're using the wrong fork, or, you know, hey, tuck that napkin in there.
Oh, I don't think he cares about that kind of stuff. I think he's.
I don't know. I
don't think that's his game.
I don't know. I don't know. Bill Clinton, on the other hand, I'd have a burger with that guy.
Well, he's a scumbag too.
Yeah, I wouldn't share my fries with him. Oh no.
He is a scumbag too.
I know where that hand's been.
I want to go ahead and I want to bring up a story right now that is actually at one of our aggregation partners, and we kind of toss stories back and forth with each other on Zero Hedge. We are at the mercy of the algorithms. More news sites say Facebook's quote unquote fake news filter is killing traffic. This is a much more important story than I think people realize. This is something that is not new at all. It's gotten worse and worse and worse, especially with towards the end of the election, with Trump being in office, that Facebook is in complete control of what is seen and how many people see it, at least when it is in terms of coming across your news feed. This is something that, I mean, we have talked about at length, that information is controlled without people realizing it, because you can't see it. You can't, it's not your typical propaganda, because it is something, I mean, new to the past, 10 years. Algorithms didn't affect what information people received and didn't receive 10 years ago. Not really, not like they do today, not in the world of social media that we live in. And it's a hidden, I want to say, attack on, you know, the First Amendment, whatever, but it's censorship, and it's covert censorship. And when you're...
Well, I want to throw this out there, though. Facebook is a private entity. First Amendment doesn't apply to something like Facebook.
You're correct.
And people tend to forget that a lot. I say this because right now...
have to remember, they want to, and here's the flip of that, they want to be recognized as a utility. If you're recognized as a utility, that means that you have to basically even the playing field, and you can't pick favorites, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. So there is a flip side to that, whether you want to call it First Amendment or not.
They want to be considered a utility, but currently they are not. So Facebook, as it stands right now, is still a private entity. But I will say this.
They're always going to be a private entity. I don't see that changing other than, you know, buying and selling the stock. But I think that being recognized as such, not necessarily becoming like the power company. I don't think that'll ever happen. There's too much money to be made for them ever, I think, to get off the path they're on. It's working the way it is for the powers that be. When you have a page like the anti-media that gets, you know, over 2 million followers, and you put a story out and 5,000 people see it, I mean, come on.
Well, let me also tell you this, too. I don't know if you logged on Facebook recently and clicked on a link that a friend shared. And then this has happened with me quite a bit here recently. They're all alternative media sites. There's been a few clickbait things that I've accidentally clicked on. And the same thing will happen. Facebook will freeze. And then a little window pops up and says, Facebook is not responding. And you have to hit OK. It takes you out of Facebook. I have to click it again, and it reloads Facebook. And when it reloads Facebook, it doesn't reload it at the story that I was on. That news story is completely gone from my feed. And so sometimes if I want to actually see something that I click on and it does that, I have to kind of take a mental snapshot of who posted that, then actually go back to their private page. And I've done that on numerous occasions. And when I go back to their private page and click on it from there, it does the same thing.
You know.
And then I'll open it back up, click on a different story from, let's say, Washington Post or something like that. Bam, it loads right up.
How amazing.
It's a Facebook miracle.
It really is. And I don't get...
Have you experienced that, though? I mean, that's happened to me, I want to say, probably in the past 4 months.
I have a handful of times, but it's not a regular thing that I've noticed. Did you hear, kind of steering a little bit back towards the Assange thing, just because that's just nuts that this is even being floated. But I want to say it's like four different candidates right now running in France, including Le Pen, are saying that they would offer Assange asylum in France if they want. That's pretty remarkable to me, because I'm not necessarily sure that would happen. But think about it like this, and this is why it is, I think, an interesting story. If one of those candidates were to win and they offer Assange asylum, if they hadn't arrested him or whatever they're threatening to do right now, and Assange goes to France and it's all in the up and up and they're going to protect him, what kind of friction does that create between the UK, the United States, and France? It creates a lot.
Yeah, that's not a scenario that I see having a happy ending any way you want to look at it.
But what's gonna, like, it's not, this isn't a typical, this isn't Michael Hastings where we can run his car into a tree at 150 miles an hour and be like, whoops, he had a wreck. If Assange slips in the shower and accidentally breaks his neck and dies, and it's a complete accident, right? Me included. I think everybody would be like, we know what y'all did. We know what happened.
Yeah.
And there would be no benefit of the doubt given. It would be like, y'all killed that man. So I think he has to be protected on some level. Like, you can't just, because you say, well, if he went to France, that would leave him exposed. What are they going to do? I mean, say some rogue person did it. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Assange. I think it's half.
Okay, well, let's say the United States they go forth with, you know, declaring charges against him. What happens then?
I don't know. They go in the, I mean, do they go and storm that embassy? I don't see that being a really good idea, because then you're getting involved with Ecuador. I mean, for whatever that's worth, you're not making any friends by beating down an embassy and going and taking somebody that they've given permission to be there and has been there for a long time. And hilariously enough, since we do live in the post-satire age that we live in, and everything is a complete joke, and if you didn't laugh at it, you'd be in the corner weeping. It's also Pamela Anderson's boyfriend. So let's all be careful with the Julian Assange over there, which that's just mind-blowing.
Wait a minute. Who's Pamela Anderson's boyfriend?
Julian Assange. And did you not know this, that she's gone over there and visits him? Yeah, she goes over and visits him in the embassy.
How pimp is that? Conjugal visits from Pamela Anderson. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong line of work, man.
Well, he's been through some stuff. He's been holed up for quite some time. So I don't know if it's the right work or the wrong work. But
old Pam does have a soft spot for bad boys.
So, look. It's just, it's convoluted. It's crazy. It's not. People just need to. We've got about 10 minutes here. I don't care how many times I repeat this. This is why I feel like so much of what I say on this show is beating a dead horse. But sometimes it's worth beating because people need to stop believing anything that comes out immediately. And they also, at the flip side, you can't make a judgment and an assessment off the top. You can definitely lean in the direction. That's human nature. That's something everybody, including me, everybody does. They're going to have their gut instinct about a situation or a scenario when they first hear about it. But before you say, this is definite, I know it, do your research and see the facts for yourself. And if you're getting your facts from, for instance, the Russians in the election, there's been no evidence presented. You, of course, would hear people say, well, so-and-so agency said, well, so there was this many agencies. Yeah, that number of agencies also said that Iraq definitely had weapons of mass destruction. They went in front of the UN and said that definitely happened. The same with, you saw Nikki Haley doing pretty much a similar shtick in the UN as Colin Powell did, except instead of sitting there, you know, shaking a little vial, she's holding up pictures of dead children. There was still no, that's a horrible, like, that's an emotional argument. You can show these pictures and say this horrible thing happened, but what actual evidence did you present that the people you're claiming did it? I don't live in Syria. The people in this country do not and should not have any say what goes on over there. Now, if we're seeing an instance where it's, you know, we're seeing Hitler 2.0 and they're literally rounding people up and you do have evidence of that stuff, well, maybe even though we shouldn't be policing the world, we can at least have that conversation, at least understand that conversation. I'll say that. But when you're just going into countries, knocking them off without any evidence, using pure emotion, and people are buying it, and because people just despise Trump and hate Trump, they just jumped on the bandwagon with Russia with no evidence and believed it. We've seen people jump on the Syrian bandwagon. I think we're going to see people jump on the Assange bandwagon with no evidence, with none. It's just people getting... With Assange, it was people getting caught with their pants down. The Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton and her campaign. And so they just come up with this elaborate, ridiculous story that Russia was involved with clearly no evidence whatsoever. It was a leaker from the United States, and ironically, that's something this show and the anti-media and lots of other alternative independent media organizations have said for the past, little under a year, and now you have the FBI coming out and say it today. So all these people with their pseudo-intellectual, I know exactly what's going on, I know everything, you know nothing, once again, they've been proven wrong. And the reason why they were proven wrong is because they latched onto some ridiculous storyline, some propaganda, and they embraced it. While they didn't search out the facts, this isn't about me being right or anti-media or any or alternative media being right and mainstream media being wrong. It's not about that. What it's about is look at the facts, and then you can say what's right, what's wrong, or where at least you have an educated, informed opinion of what you probably think is happening here. If you're listening to what's coming out of CNN or Fox or NBC, then you're getting the BS straight from the horse's mouth. They're not there to keep citizens informed to a legit level. They are there to have them know what they want, what people are expected to know, which meaning Syria. It's a given. If you question that, look at Tulsi Gabbard, look at Thomas Massie. If you question that, if you question it, you're crazy, you're a lunatic, you should go. You know, these are people that are actually using their brains, and I wish there were more people in Congress like them that actually sought out answers and didn't just jump on the bandwagon of what's basically a bandwagon of warmongering. Think about how at odds John McCain and Donald Trump have been over the past, geez, that's been since, you know, Trump's first gaffe was on John McCain. I say gaffe, his first headline of saying he was captured. I don't like people that were captured. So they've been at odds the entire time Trump was running for president. And now they're just like, yeah, I think he's doing the right thing. We're warming up to this guy. But what's he doing? He's going down the path of these crazy people. He's either A, being manipulated by liars that are close to him, or B, he's lied to everybody. Either way, the results are the same. We're still going down the same road. So, you know, people that support Trump, that don't support Trump, that are indifferent, that think it's too late, that think we're going to change everything tomorrow. It doesn't matter which side of the coin you're on. You have to be informed. Until you inform yourself, legit inform yourself, not that's come out of some corporate garbage, ridiculous news channel, then you're not going to know what's going on. And you're going to be in the dark. And everything you think's going to happen is always going to end up not happening. Period. I mean, the election should have proven that to people, and we should be past this already. We should be past this whole narrative. We should be past all of this. When Hillary lost, after everybody laughed and said it was never going to happen, people should have realized, but they still don't. They're still hanging on to these falsehoods, these far stories. Well, it's Russia. Well, it's this. Well, there's always no, no. Look at the writing on the wall. We've been going down this path for a long time.
The other side of that coin, to be fair, is for the people that did vote for Donald Trump and all of this change, and we're going to get rid of that Obamacare, we're going to get rid of those Hillary Clinton Middle East politics, and we're not going to be going to war our first day. No, we got a president that's he's going to set things right. Well, we're doing all of the things that he campaigned against, all of the things that Hillary campaigned for. I mean, it's pretty, and that right there should show you that there is no distinction. Now, look, did Donald Trump actually go into office hoping and praying that he was going to be able to do these things? Part of me would like to believe that he was. And then he got into office and was given his script and told exactly what he was going to say and exactly what he was going to do, because these things are going to happen no matter what he said on the dais.
And we saw the same exact thing with Obama. I mean, no. Obama won a Nobel Peace Prize from his election. His campaign won him a Nobel Peace Prize because as soon as he got in office, he did none of it. Especially when it comes to foreign policy. I mean, you look at, I'll never forget hearing them at the convention in 2012 when him and Biden were going against Romney. And like, we're definitely getting out of Afghanistan. Like, it's done. Like, we've got the plan laid out. Like in our, you know, the first couple months of the new term, we're out of Afghanistan. Well, we're still there. That's it for Anti-Media Radio. For Shannon, I am SM Gibson. Jake is next here on UCY. Anti-Media out. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
This is Ozzy Skateboard, and you're listening to me.